Hi, how you doing? How was your Easter? Really? That's great. I hope you answered affirmatively, otherwise this makes no sense. Because I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I make believe I can't hear you. And if I could, I wouldn't care. I had people over to my house on Easter, as a lot of people did. And I found something out that I had missed, apparently. I found out they all told me that I had forgotten to move my clocks ahead an hour, the spring ahead thing a few weeks ago. I had never done that. I changed my smoke alarm batteries, but I didn't do the clocks. And that explains a lot, explains why I've been late to everything the past few weeks.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm really not that stupid. I made that up.
Whatever.
I swear I did. It was for comedic purposes that apparently didn't pan out accordingly. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Boy, the holidays have changed for me. They really, really have. Holidays are for children, not for adults. Nothing's for adults. They don't make stuff up for adults anymore. Everything's for the children. I remember Christmas, getting up in the morning and wondering if Santa Claus had come down the chimney that we didn't even have. It was blocked off because we had a chimney fire years previous when I was a kid. So I always said to my father, how does Santa get into the house if the chimney is blocked? And he said, Ronnie, a lot of people don't have fireplaces, in which case Santa comes through the window. And I said, well, what if you don't have a window? And he said, all right, now just shut up. Anyway, I would go to bed and wake up in the morning and there'd be presents. And it was the most exciting day of the year when I was a child. And then Easter as well. There was an Easter bunny. There's a lot of things that apparently weren't really there. Talk about fake news. These were fake things. There apparently
are kids out of the room. Get the kids out of the room. I want to talk for a second. Get the kids out of the room right now. Get them out quick.
When I found out that there was no Santa Claus, I didn't speak to my parents for years because they lied to me. How could you lie to me like that? To my face. And then you told me that there was an Easter bunny related to all the little rabbits that I see in the backyard. And I believed you. I believed you. And that there was a tooth fairy. If I lost a tooth, I'd simply put the tooth under my pillow, and in the morning, I'd have $100. My parents were very, very generous. I bought into all those things, every single one of them. And it was wonderful, too. It was a wonderful thing. And that's why the holidays mean so much more to children. We hid eggs for Easter. I didn't know it was supposed to be plastic eggs. I just took eggs out of the refrigerator and started hiding them and found out later that they stink after a while if you take them out of the refrigerator and you put them in the couch. I didn't know that. A lot of stuff I didn't know. But I didn't get any derive any pleasure out of putting eggs all over the place. I didn't derive any pleasure Christmas going out to the store and spending all my hard-earned money in the name of Santa. I mean, kids open up their presents and they say, oh, look what Santa got me, a racing car. Yeah, Santa didn't get you the racing car, you little bastard. I did. I had to work extra hours. I had to stand online at that stupid store for hours just to get you this gift. And then I had to assemble the damn thing. And you're thanking a mythological beast? That wasn't fair. I never liked that part. Yeah, the magic of the holidays, over for the adults, but sparkling for the children. Do I have a problem lying to children about Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy? No, I don't give a crap. I was lied to. You might as well be lied to. And I don't think I'm scarred for life. The reason that I don't trust human beings has nothing to do with the fact that they told me that there was a Santa Claus, even went out of their way to bring me to shopping malls to have me meet the guy and sit on his lap. You think I want to sit on the lap of some guy wearing dirty red upholstery? No, I don't. I didn't. The guy scared the hell out of me like a circus clown. Yeah, the holidays are for the kids. They're for the kids. And, you know, that's the end of it. Kids always look so happy during the holidays, and adults look so stressed. Why do you think adults drink? Kids, you'll find out that someday that question will be answered very, very easily. Why are my parents always drinking wine and alcoholic beverages? Well, partially because of you. Come on, can we be honest for just like a couple of minutes here? Come on, get off your high horse. Even if you don't ride horses, and whatever the phrase may be that would be relevant to you. It's crazy stuff. All right, let's move on. We have an interesting guest at the end of the program, and that's where I usually put the interesting guests. Because sometimes they're not that interesting. I don't know until I talk to them. I air the uninteresting ones too. I mean, it's still information. They may not be interesting, but it's still information. You know, how do you think I feed my children? I mean, I got to make money somehow. That's how I do that. You don't pay me. You don't pay me to listen to this stuff. Who do you think pays for my shoes? Otherwise, I'd be walking around barefoot, which is not a good idea because there's little shards of glass all over the place, which is probably methodically put on the ground for the times that I'm walking near the shattered glass. Anyway, that made no sense. So we have an interesting guest toward the end of the program. I wanted to talk about something on this show which is so critical that it's not funny, and it's not funny. The Sinclair Media Group, this has come to light. It started, John Oliver on his HBO show talked about this about 8 months ago. It's finally come to light, and it actually occurred. Sinclair Media owns 170 to 200, approximately 200 television stations across this country. And what they've been doing recently, they own television stations, what they've been doing recently is writing out a script for all the prominent news anchors on their television stations to read, word by word, in the script. And in the script, Sinclair Media is telling the stations that they own to say that news is fake, everything's fake, but when you watch that particular Sinclair station or that particular station, that's all real news. And claiming that the media, except for the station that's saying this, scripted, that the media is a threat to democracy. This is the strangest thing I've seen in a long time, because here's Sinclair Media writing out the words for the anchors to say like it's their opinion. That is the epitome of state media. This is what they do in communist countries. And we know that many of the news anchors at many of these Sinclair stations really wrestled with this because they were told from Sinclair management, you must read this word for word. And it was distributed to all the stations. Some news anchors felt very uncomfortable about that. But do you want a job or do you not want a job, news anchor? These little stations, man, you know, they can fire you in a second just like you're, you know, a custodian in a high school. I mean, they don't care. They don't care. This happened recently. All 170 stations were ordered to read this piece of propaganda. This no longer, ladies and gentlemen, your news anchors are not news anchors. They're not journalists. They are scripted actors. And I kind of can't believe that in a democracy, this could even be allowed. So the least we can do is tell you that this is occurring and has occurred. And if you don't believe me, we're going to play this for you right now. There's an organization called Deadspin, and they do various things, and, you know, it's a media thing, and you may agree with them, you may not, but in this case, it really doesn't matter, because what they did was they strung together all these local news stations owned by Sinclair to prove that everything that this was a scripted thing that they had to say. It's very scary when you listen to it, but you really should know what's going on. The Trump organization, the Trump White House, is connected to Sinclair Media. Whether they consciously work in tandem or not, or whether Sinclair Media is just very conservative and is just doing this on their own, there is a tie between the Trump administration and Sinclair Media. As a matter of fact, that little Trump son-in-law guy actually announced that there was a relationship between Sinclair Media and the Trump people. Jared Kushner, you little, well, whatever. Anyway, we're going to play this for you now. This is from Deadspin. They put this together. This proves that the script was sent out to Sinclair stations all across the country, of which there are about 170, 200 of them. And this is very scary to listen to. It sounds very authoritarian, and that's a scary thing. Listen to this.
Become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish things simply aren't true without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 Your problem. There's a growing anti-intellectual strain in this country.
Just part of it. What you heard was all the news anchors from all the Sinclair stations saying the same scripted words, and they put it all together. And then you had some of the individual stations with the same script, claiming that the news media, fake news media, is very dangerous to our democracy, when indeed what you just heard is Sinclair Media being very dangerous to our democracy. My immediate reaction to this is to find out which stations are Sinclair media stations, and in every single city, every single town, sometimes 50% of your stations are owned by Sinclair Media. You cannot watch them anymore because obviously they are being told what to say in a very slanted manner. And they're trying to put it over on you. They're trying to fool you as if the anchors are saying this from their heart and saying, the news that we give you is absolutely true, when they're being told what to say and how to slant that news. I feel like writing letters to Sinclair Media, which I plan to do. You just go online and you find out which stations in your area are Sinclair Media. As I said, many of them are already, and you'll be happy to know which ones they are. And I now will not trust anything they say, because what they say is being scripted to make me believe a certain thing, a conservative message. Whether you believe in that conservative message or not, as an American, you should definitely put your foot down and say, no, this is not proper. This is not proper. Okay, there you go. Now you know. That's my job. My job is so that you know things.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, good to be with you. It's good to be with someone that I can connect to. Don't we have this kind of relationship? So full of crap. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't even know who you are. Let's keep it that way, huh? Let's just keep it that way. Every year that I grow older, I find a greater disdain for human beings. When I was a child, I didn't go to church, really. I was, you know, wasn't a church kind of kid. But people are walking around trusting adults, like, whoa, you know, adults don't do anything wrong, man. They are to be respected. They are wonderful. Then you find out that there were a lot of priests that were nailing the kids. Let's be honest about it. It happened. All across the country. And that might have been your first clue that things aren't exactly the way that you thought they were. Forget about the Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. I'm talking about human beings here that actually do exist. You can't trust them. I mean, who would you trust like more than your priest? Nobody. And then they had that scandal that went on for a long time, and the revelations were damaging and horrible. Then you find out that a lot of men, and I suspect a lot of women too, but certainly men, because they own the part of the body called the penis, there's ownership going on there, that they take advantage of women with sexual harassment and advances that are negatively received, like don't do it, where their jobs are threatened if they don't, very similar to Sinclair Media, telling their anchors what to say and what not to say, and if you don't say it, then you're not one of our people and you might have to find another job, very similar to the Trump administration. You find as you get older that all the stuff that you thought was going to be wonderful is either not as wonderful as you think or a considerable struggle. And that's unfortunate. And you start to meet people that you don't particularly care for, and that they have mean streaks, and that they have disorders. When I was growing up, we didn't have disorders. We didn't have them yet. They weren't invented. My brother was very antsy. We called him antsy. Always had to be doing something, all that kind of stuff, you know, always fidgeting around and doing things. Never was able to just kind of relax and just chill. Always had to be doing something. Come to find out, now we have a range of disorders, ADD, ADOD, ADABBB, ABBDBBB. There's Ritalin and Fiddlin and Diddlin. We didn't have that stuff. We didn't have that stuff. I mean, when I was growing up, if a person, you know, sometimes was happy and sometimes was sad, well, there's a person that is sometimes happy, sometimes sad, seems to be, you know, like kind of one or the other. Now we're bipolar. We could be in this pole or we can be in that pole. We're bipolar now. We have a name for everything. And it makes us feel as a society like we are totally messed up. And at first you think that you're the normal one and everybody else is nuts. Then you grow a little bit older and you realize, I'm one of those people. I'm also nuts. Not in the same way, but in a different way. I'm waiting for my disorder. Have you been tagged with a disorder yet? What's wrong with you? How come you haven't? Have you not been to the doctor recently? You must have a disorder of some sort. No one's perfect. If you are perfect, then you have the perfect disorder, which is delusional. Yes, when you were growing up, people who, you know, didn't quite believe what you were saying and were living their own lives, those were people that were living their own lives. Now they're delusional. And I happen to agree with that. They are delusional. So the older I get, the more I realize I can't really trust anybody to be normal because I don't know what normal is. I have no idea. When I was growing up, I kind of learned what's supposed to be normal. Then I got to be an adult and I realized there is no normal. Or the normal could be very abnormal. When all the abnormal people become the majority, then that becomes the normal. Oh, it's way too confusing to handle. There's no way to understand all of that. So it's just a confusing lifestyle. I don't know. And then you try to, then you say, well, you know, I don't really need people. I'll kind of just be on my own. And then you realize that you're not too happy with yourself either. I'm quiet. I live by myself and I got to know myself. And to be honest with you, I don't care too much about myself, to be honest with you. I kind of don't want to spend time with me. Then what do? A radio show? Kidding, that's a joke. Okay, we're going to take a break, and then my guest will be joining us for today. But in the meantime, here's a public service announcement.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Andrew Kirker joins us now. He is a bronze, silver, gold, any kind of metal that they make medals out of, he's got it. And congratulations to you, first of all. 2015, 2017, and again now in 2018. But 2018, a little bit different, I understand. You had a situation occur.
I would say 2018 was really my redemption story. It was 2014 that the redemption the redemption story started happening.
All right, well, tell me the story.
2014, I broke my back at my very first Paralympic Games in Sochi, and this year, Pyeongchang 2018, I was able to get the gold and the silver in the men's downhill and the men's super G at the games. And, you know, my story started back when I was 13 years old and, I broke my back. Prior to that, I was an avid wrestler and, I always had an Olympic dream of being the best wrestler in the world and, achieving Olympic gold.
Yep.
And after I broke my back, I found a different way of doing that, and that was with alpine skiing and adaptive alpine skiing.
Right. Okay, and so did you actually compete in the full Olympics at a point?
I never competed in the Olympics. I've only competed in the Paralympics.
Okay, all
but,
right.
The Paralympics, yeah, it's just like the Olympics. It's about 2 weeks after the Olympics
yes.
are aired, and a lot of times you can watch it on NBC, and you can
yep.
see it streaming live.
Yep. I mean, yes, yep. We're familiar with that now. Okay, so...
oh, awesome.
So, 2015, why was 2018 so special, where this was the same, you know, what was different about 15 and 17?
So 2015, 2017 was World Championships.
Okay.
The first one was my very first medal, and
oh,
it was just after Sochi.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so 2015 was World Championships in Panorama, Canada.
Okay.
And it was just after Sochi. I had just broken my back, and I had just broken my femur, and I started to change my perspective of ski racing just a little bit. I realized that I didn't have to be gung-ho. I didn't have to go for it 100% uh-huh. every time. To achieve that gold medal. Instead, I started approaching things with a little bit more of a tactful mindset.
Wow.
I realized that if I was going to keep pursuing this sport,
yeah.
that I had to stop getting injured. And
well,
you know
that's a nice idea.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Looking back at it all now, I wouldn't change a single thing, to be honest with you. I achieved the gold, I achieved the silver, and my injuries make me who I am today. It helped me to realize that I just needed to be a little bit better tomorrow than I was today.
Okay.
That's really what my journey is all about.
All right, see, and now I understand the stepping stones. 2015, a bronze world championship, then 2017... another bronze and a silver and a gold, and then 2018, the actual Olympics. Okay, wow. You just like
yep.
every time you just like progress a notch higher, even higher than a few notches. That's pretty cool. So it just gets better.
Yes. Yep. And, you know, that's my goal throughout my career. So I was injured in Sochi, and that was, you know, the big sad point
yeah.
of my career. That
yeah.
was a big learning experience
yeah.
for me. And it was at that point that I broke my back at the games, and I had just broken my femur, and then I realized that I needed to focus on just being a little bit better tomorrow than I was today. I realized that I just needed to take baby steps, that I didn't have to be the best right away, that I just had to be a better person, to be a better Andrew Kirka tomorrow than I was today.
Yeah.
And that's really when everything started going better for me. I started realizing that I needed to focus on helping other people. I needed to start making my career and the reason I was doing this
yeah.
that much more valuable to myself and that much more valuable to the world.
And that's what you're doing by hooking up with organizations that actually do promote that and educate people in that regard. Tell me
exactly.
Yeah. Wow. It's that's an amazing story. What do people not understand about disability situations?
Well, I would say it's more about the Paralympics right now. So I've teamed up with Hartford, and we're here to support the I Will campaign, and that's
uh-huh.
for people to see really what's truly possible for them. And the thing is a lot of people, they see individuals with disabilities, and really what I see is I see someone who is overcoming obstacles
uh-huh.
in life. That's really what it's all about. The I Will campaign is about the will to prevail, the will to overcome, and the will to be better tomorrow than you were today. That's really what it's truly all about. And when it comes to people with disabilities or the Paralympics, you know, we want people to see that we are elite athletes as well, that the Paralympics is a growing movement, that we are competitive
mm-hmm.
and that we are inspiring, that we can motivate and make a difference for others in the world. That's why I've teamed up with the Hartford,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we have this campaign going right now. We're trying to make a difference. We're trying to help people to see really what the Paralympics is all about.
Yeah.
And you can see that with U.S. Paralympics
uh-huh.
and a good example of an event. Every year, the Hartford and Disabled Sports USA puts on an event in Breckenridge, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Ski Spectacular. And really what that does is it helps introduce disabled individuals to adaptive sports. support. Now, there's all kinds of different disabled individuals out there. You know, there's people that were born with spina bifida. There's people like me who were injured in a four-wheeler ATV accident. There's wounded warriors out there that were injured by IEDs. And really, what this is showing them, and it's showing them how they can live better than they ever lived before, how they can overcome these obstacles, and they can be better tomorrow than they were today.
See, it's interesting.
And that's really what we're...
That's okay. I just want to make the point that you said something very important there, that some people with disabilities actually live better than people who don't have them, in the sense that actually you've achieved more than a person without disabilities could ever hope to achieve. And that's interesting to me, because sometimes you can even go further because of the willpower involved, further than people without disabilities ever go.
You know, and I would agree with that. And it's all in the perspective. Mm-hmm. It's all in how you look at something. I think that anybody in life can achieve more than they ever hoped they could. They can live happy, and they can accomplish things that they've only ever dreamed of. Mm-hmm. They just have to look at the world in a different perspective to overcome those obstacles.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. There's people going out there going through a divorce who are disabled by being T-boned at a red light.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can. You can overcome these obstacles.
Right.
You just have to look at it differently, and sometimes work a little bit harder.
That's a great message. And how do we get more information about that?
You can go to hartford.com/prevail. They've teamed up with the U.S. Paralympics, myself, and a few other athletes to help showcase what the Paralympics is truly all about and to help you realize what's truly possible for your life. Please follow the Paralympics and help to get it out there. If you know someone with a disability, get them into it.
Yeah, and let them know these stories of success, that the boundaries actually aren't necessarily there at all. What's next for you?
For me, Beijing 2022. That's the big goal.
Wow.
And then I'm building a bed and breakfast up in Alaska, where I can take people with disabilities out fishing, hunting, and rock climbing, kayaking, you name it.
Right.
I'm going to showcase really what the human spirit's all about.
Great. And the most amazing thing, which people don't understand, is Andrew's actually 82 years old. Okay, I'm not okay.
I'm not.
Okay, okay,
26.
Okay, no. Okay.
26. It's good ripe age.
Right. I'm trying to make it more spectacular. Okay.
Okay.
Andrew, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Right. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go, my friends. I truly hope that you were enlightened somehow, or at least in the room that you're sitting in, you put another light on. One or the other. I really don't care which one it is. I want you to walk away from this show feeling like you knew more than when you came in. Question is, what do you know? And that may be a dangerous question to answer. It's great. I love doing that. You know, if you change your voice, all of a sudden people listen to you. I'm going down the street to buy some hamburger meat. Nobody cares. Nobody heard what you said. But if you say it this way, I'm going down the street to buy some hamburger meat, people will take notice. I guarantee you, people will take notice. If you get out of your car in front of the supermarket in the parking lot and you start walking into the supermarket saying out loud, I'm going to buy some hamburger meat, I guarantee you, you will get noticed. If you think that you're living in a world that doesn't notice you, that will get you noticed immediately. Not in a good way, but that's not what we do here. I think Trump has actually proven to us you don't have to do good things to get attention. What we're doing is we're rewarding bad behavior. As Dr. Phil would say, that soothsayer of baldness, who reminds me, every time I watch his show, he reminds me that he's the number one daytime television show, and he's been a forensic psychologist for 25, 30 years. Every single show, he reminds me of that damn fact. Get off of your high horse, guy. You've got delusional problems. You've got disorders, Phil. But Phil always says, never reward bad behavior. If you do, then you're enabling. What is the country doing to Donald Trump? Rewarding bad behavior? Not all of the country, just 33%. But Don surrounds himself with the 33%, so he's delusional. He has no idea what the rest of the percentage is going. It's funny. Trump is, he's organizing the Republicans. The midterm elections are coming up in November, of course. And apparently they're going after Hillary Clinton. She's not running for anything, but it worked before, so they're going to try it again. but she's not running in any elections, guys and girls. I know, but it worked before. So we're going to constantly bring up Hillary Clinton's name, and we will win accordingly. Yes, but she's not running against you. I know, but it worked before. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's wrong with you? Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.